The last thing that we discussed yesterday, which deserves review, is a discussion about the Lishna Kama of Rav and Abaye. According to the Lishna Kama of Rava, we'll speak about Rava, in the case of Efshar, Isuri Hano apply, even if it's Lo Mechaven. And that applies even according to Rav Shimon. So let's understand. Rav Shimon has a Shita that Dover Sheinim Eskaven is Mutter. Comes along Rava and he says that only applies in the case of Lo Efshar. But in the case of Efshar, even though he has no Kavana, it becomes Asur. So we're up to Tashma. This is the last thing that we discussed yesterday. So we're on Daf Chavav Amid Beis, and you want to take a look at Tashma. Where is Tashma? There are a number of Tashmas. The one we want to find is approximately 10 lines down from the top, a little bit more perhaps. And the first word in the line is Bisha. Tashma Mochrei Ksus. Yeah, you have it? Tashma Mochrei Ksus.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, Mochrei Ksus. So this is a Mishnah Masechta Kelayim that deals with shatnez. It means a beggar that's made of linen and wool. And these Mochrei Ksus want to transport their garments. In the case of shatnez, they want to sell it to non-Jews. Perhaps they want to display it. And when they display it, sometimes they wear it. But if they wear it, then they're having hanas levisha. They're enjoying the benefit of wearing something that's shatnez. And you're not allowed to wear shatnez. And yet, the Mishnah, despite that, says, Mochrim kidarkam. They're allowed to wear these garments in order to display them as if they were not shatnez. Ubevad shelo yiskaven. But the condition is that they shouldn't have kavana for the sake of levisha, meaning they're wearing their clothing, and presumably their clothing would offer them enough protection from the rain and enough protection from the cold. But on top of that, they put on these begodim that they want to display to the buyers, and these begodim happen to be shatnez. So they're selling it to non-Jews, which is fine. But the problem is, are they benefiting from the levisha? So the Mishnah says in Kelayim that if they don't have kavana, then they're allowed to wear it. What does it mean they don't have kavana? So the Mishnah goes into great detail here. It says, Bechama, meaning during the days of the summer months, Mipnei Achama, sometimes you wear a beged in order to protect you from the hot sun, meaning that you shouldn't burn. Ubegeshamim, during the days of the Geshamim, the winter season, when it's cold and it's rainy, Mipnei Ageshamim. So now the question is the following. Are we dealing with a case of Efshar or Lo Efshar? What do I mean? Is he going out of his way to enjoy the benefit of these begodim? Could he have accomplished the same goal without wearing these begodim? And that's what the Mishnah is going to address now. The Mishnah is going to tell us that there is a way of displaying these begodim for potential buyers even without wearing the begodim. And that was the way of the tznuim. The tznuim were those who are prushim, meaning they would go to the other end of the world in order to avoid even something that has the smell of an avera. It's not technically it's mutter, but they would accept upon themselves a stringency. So what do? They found another way of displaying these begadim for potential buyers without having to wear them. And what's that called? Mafshilin lachorehen b'makel. They would carry a pole, a stick, and it was on their shoulder, and they would hang these begadim, these shatnez begadim, on the end of this makel. And therefore, we have a situation called Efshar. Now watch what happens here. According to Rabbi Shimon, Dover Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. Comes along Rava in the Lishna Kama, and he says, no, that's not an absolute rule. When does Rav Shimon say Dovah Sheinah Miskaven is Mutter? That's only in a case of Lo Efshar. But if it's a case of Efshar, if he could have done it otherwise, then the concept of Eina Miskaven, and we had a long discussion about this, is meaningless. Because Rav says, what do you mean Eina Miskaven? Who are you fooling? You could have done it in a way. Like, let's say, for example, you had two roads. Right, this was the case of Rava back on Daf Chaf Hei. You had two roads. One of them passes through the Avodah Zarah, and you smell the wonderful aroma of their incense to the idols. And the other has no monastery on it. You know, there's no temple there for Avodah Zarah. And he chose to go down the way, that path which will lead him past the Avodah Zarah. So Rava says, in that case, even Rav Shimon holds Dovah Sheinah Miskaven is Mutter. He's going to say, well, it's Efshar. He could have just as well gotten to his destination without going down that road that's closer to the Avodah. So the very fact that he went down that road, he chose. So obviously, he wanted to get some benefit from the fragrance of the incense. And here too, what the Gemara is postulating is that since these Mochrek Sus, the sellers, could have just as well have done the mafshilin lachorem b'makel, they could have used the same method as the tznuim used, and they could have hung their begadim on the end of this pole. If they didn't do so, but rather they chose to wear the begadim, that's called efshar. So the Gemara says, v'ahacha, now we're going back to the ratio, not to the tznuim. Again, we're only calling the tznuim to establish that this is a case of efshar, meaning that the mochrek sus did not have to wear the begadim. They could have carried their begadim the way the tznuim did without having to wear them. It's therefore going to Rava kilo machavin shari, just because they didn't have kavana for the benefit of protection in the summertime from the hot sun, in the winter from the cold or from the rain. Therefore, shari it should be mutter. That's against Rava, because Rava says that even Rav Shimon would agree in the case of efshar that it's all awesome. Meaning that Rav Shimon only permits it because it was low Efshar and he didn't have Kavana. But if it was Efshar and he had Kavana, I'm sorry, if it's Efshar even though he didn't have Kavana, that's considered like he had Kavana. Kol Efshar is low miskaven ki miskaven dami. In other words, if you could have done it in a different way and you chose to dafka to do it that way, that itself is proof positive that you wanted to have it. So if they didn't avail themselves of the possibility that it's new in, the Gemara says that's called Efshar. And yet, the Mishnah allows it because he's Eino Miskaven. So the Gemara says, Tuvta, this is a question, Laman Damasni Lishna Kamed Rava. According to that version, the first version of Rava, and according to Rava, Rav Shimon would be Moda in a case of Efshar, that it's Asur. How could we therefore permit in this Mishnah, in Kelayim for the Mochrek Sus, to wear these begadim around their body is a case of efshar, because they could have done it a different way and achieved the same goal. And the Gemara answers, Tiyuvta. And here I have to tell you something which amazed me. In a machlokas between Abai and Rava, who do we paskin like? We paskin like Rava. How many exceptions are there?
Six.
Excellent. And they are called what? Yal Kagam. Now, what is Yal Kagam? We're not going to go through all six of them now, but we're going to focus on one of those six. And he says the following, that the third letter of Yal Kagam is a lament. We translate that as Lechi. This has a machlokas that has to do with Erevin. However, the Tosis in Masechta Kiddushin quote the Chachmei Narvona. And the Chachmei Narvona say that the word Lamed, the letter Lamed in Yal Kagam, is not a reference to Lechi, but rather it's a reference to Lo Mechaveh. And this is a case in point in which we paskin like Abaye against Rava. So Rabosa, what we're looking at now, and this word Tiyuvta is a very unusual application of the exception to the rule, that we paskin like Abaye as an exception to the rule against Rava, which is the rule. And here we have one sugya where we're going to, again, if you accept the Lishna Kam, obviously, in the Lishna Basra, Rava agrees that Lo Efshar, that in the case of Lo Miskaven, it's Mutter, according to Rav Shimon. So that this sugya is not relevant to the Lishna Basra of Rava. But at least in the Lishna Kam of Rava, we have a clear cut proof that we passing like Abaye against Rava, and therefore this becomes one of Yal Kagam, and we're going to have to see about what to do with Lechi, but in any event, the Lavid is called Lo Mechavin. Now, we have a similar sugya to the one that we're learning now in Masechta Shabbos, but there, the Gemara quotes a machlokas between Rav Yirmiya and Rava and Ula. And it could be that the reason why our sugya is not calculated in Yal Kagam is because it's not that we're paskening like Abaye against Rava, but rather we're paskening like Rav Yirmiya against Ula. I mean, again, you have to know all the names over there, but I'm just pointing that out. Now, there's another aspect of this sugya that I want to call to your attention. I don't know if we can exhaust this point, but I do want to call it to your attention. Tosis has a shita that Rabbi Shimon's Dover Shena Miskaven only applies in what's called Eino Psik Reisha. But in a case of Psik Reisha, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that a Dover Shena Miskaven is also. What's a Psik Reisha? We mentioned this in the past. It means that what he does is going to definitely bring the results. Yeah? It's going to definitely bring the results. And Tosis Ashita is that in the case of Psik Reisha, Rav Shimon agrees that it's considered Davar Miskavein. Now the Ran here in this sugya that we're learning today assumes that wearing begadim is a Psik Reisha. What does that mean? He's definitely going to have a benefit from these begadim. If it's during the winter, if it's during the summer, whatever it is, it's called a Psik Reisha. And the Ran says that you see from this sugya against Tosfos, Tosfos assumes again that Rabbi Shimon would agree in a Dover Shena Miskaven that if it's a Psik Reisha, it's definitely going to happen, that it's also. Well, here's a case of a Psik Reisha, yet the Mishnah allows it. And the Gemara itself only says that we can allow it based on Rav Shimon because the Dover Shena Miskaven, that's who Bilvad Shena Miskaven. But what good is it, asks the Ran, if it's Eino Miskaven, if it's anyway a Psik Reisha? So the Ran, based on this sugya that we're learning now, paskins against Tosfos in favor of the Aruch. The Aruch was before the Rishonim, and he holds that even though the Gemara says that Rav Shimon is modeb of Psik Reisha, that's also, that's only if it's Nichole. That's only if he gets benefit from it. But if he doesn't get any benefit from it, that's called Psik Reisha de lo Nichole, and Rav Shimon would still be matirit. And therefore, what the Aruch is going to learn here, that's what the Ran points out, is that when it says Ubilvad, Shalo Yiskaven, etc., means that he shouldn't be Nichole, that he shouldn't have any benefit whatsoever. In other words, he should indicate that he's well protected by the begadim that he's wearing, and the extra begad of Shatnez doesn't add anything to him at all. Okay, this is what we wanted to add to yesterday, and now we start the shiur for today. Now, the first 3 years that a tree produces fruit, what are those fruit called? Arba. And they're Asur Bano. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, based on a drasha, that not only are the fruits of Arla prohibited, but even the klipos, the coverings, the peels, or the shells in the case of walnuts, because walnuts grow on trees, even the shells are considered Arla. Now, why is that important for our sugya? Since we said that Arla is Asur Ba'anah, in certain cases, Klipe Arla could be used as fuel and burned to create a fire. And then, let's say, for example, you have an oven and you need fuel for your oven. What happens in a case where you use the Klipe Arla as fuel for your oven? Are you considered benefiting from it? Now, there are a number of issues here that we have to address. The first issue is the tanur itself, the oven itself. Now again, it's very hard for us in contemporary lives to associate with the word oven what the Gemara talks about in a tanur. Number one, a tanur back at the time of the Mishnah was made of earthenware. Number two, earthenware in order to become strong, because the earth itself is loose, it's not strong and sturdy, it requires a process called heating. And you heat up a piece of earth, and through that heating process, you strengthen the earth in such a way that now the vessel is functional. In the case of an oven, the very first time that you use the oven, the heat of the oven will solidify the earth in such a way that the oven now becomes a functional utensil. Did anybody hear what I just said? Okay, good. I'm glad you could hear, because I can't hear myself. Is the door is closed. Okay, fine. All right, as long as you could hear, that's what counts. I don't have to hear.
What's it called?
Firing.
Like excellent. Okay, that's firing number one. So the first question we have to ask here is he benefiting from the Klipe Arla by strengthening the oven itself? And that would apply in case of a brand new oven. Now, once the oven has been used, it's already strong from the heat of the oven, then there's no problem. But now we have another problem.
So why is there no problem?
Because the second time that you use it, the Klipe Arla are in no way benefiting the oven. The oven is already strong.
No, but it helps.
You can't use the Klipe Arla.
Well, wait a minute. Let's go straight. Right now I'm talking about the status of the oven. That's all we're discussing now. What is the status of the oven that was heated up by Klipe Arla? And then we get to stage two.
The first time it's forbidden, the second time
excellent.
It's okay.
The first time it's forbidden. Why? Because now this oven was created by Klipe Arla. I don't mean created, but it was made into a functional. Correct. Its functionality was clinched by the Klipe Arla. That means that now whenever I use this oven, I am benefiting from the Klipe Arla. It's like the benefit of the Klipe Arla is inside the walls of the oven. That's only the first time.
So why would you want to do it a second time? What do you mean the second time?
No, and then now he wants to use the oven for cooking.
But then you can't use the Klipe Arla either.
Okay, so that's going to be a machlokas. We'll see about that as we go along. But I'm just pointing out that there's no issue as far as the tanur if it's an old tanur. So old meaning it's on a second use. So if the first use of the tanur was with Heter, it's not Klipe Arla, and now I want to use Klipe Arla to strengthen the oven, there's no problem because the oven is already considered functional. Fine. Now we have the second issue. The second issue is going to be what happens, and this is relevant to even the second use of the oven, it's an old oven, we'll call it that. What happens with the dough that's baking in this oven and the fuel that's heating up the oven is Klipe Arla? And here too, we have to break down our question into many different parts. One part is, do we say that now the Klipe Arla themselves are baking the dough? Or do we say no? What's happening is that the fire is baking the dough, and the fire is generated after the combustion of the Klipe Arla. In other words, how do we view this fire, so to speak? Do we see this fire as the fire of Klipe Arla? Do we say no? The fire is only heating the dough after the Klipe Arla is already burnt up. So, for example, I'm just giving you a little bit of a preview of coming attractions. So we're going to go through everything one by one, but just to give you a little bit of an overview of a sense of what we're talking about. If you have something called Gichalim, does anybody know what Gichalim is? You don't go to the right restaurants in Netanya. Oh. That's my favorite restaurant in Netanya. It's called Gichalim. Right? Gichalim on the coals. You know, it's a cool restaurant, by the way. I hope they still have the same answer that they always had. Because what they do is they bring you out the food on coals. It's one level above the coals, and it keeps the food hot. So in America, we had this in my youth, but it didn't come to Israel for a while. Anyway, that's called Gichalim. So the Gemara tells us that if the Klipe Arla had already turned into Gichalim, they were already cold, then everybody agrees that the bread that you bake or whatever you bake on top of the Gichalim is mutter. Why? Because the coals are already at the level beyond the Klipe Arla. The Klipe Arla have gone already. But if on the other hand they haven't yet become coals, how do I view the fire that comes up from the Klipe Arla and heats up the dough? Do I say that the Klipe Arla is heating up the dough, or do I say no? At that split second in time, when the Klipe Arla are burnt, that's when the fire goes up. And therefore the baking of the dough is not a result of, is not directly, at least it's an indirect result of the Klipe Arla. Now we have the third question. And the third question is going to be the following. What happens in the case of a brand new oven? As we said before, the brand new oven was created, again, I'm going to use those words in an inverted commas, you'll know what I mean, so I don't have to go over it over and over again, was created by the Klipei Arlo. Now, what happens to the bread that I bake in this oven? I wasn't supposed to bake the bread in the oven, but do I view the bread that was baked in the oven as a result of the oven? Or, now I'm using fuel in the oven, again, this fuel is heter, I'm not using Klipei Arlo. So now the bread that's being baked in this oven is partially a result of the Klipei Arlo because they made the oven into an oven, but it's also partially a result of the fuel that I'm using to heat up the oven. And the fuel that I'm using in this case is heter. So let's go through the various cases one by one inside the Gemara. Yeah.
Before you go through.
Yeah, go ahead. To
go back to the facts. Based on what you just said, so the bread is already in the oven as the klipei ora is still klipei ora, or it's already cold.
Well, that's the question. Difference. It's not yet coals, but do we consider it like it's coals? Why? In the physics of it, again, we can Google this on and find out the physics of it. I'm not going to do that for you. You can do that on your own, or Yehuda will do it for you. And that means the following: that do we view the arl as feeding the fire, or do we view it as the burnt arl that's feeding the fire? If it's gichalim, if it's already coals, there's no question about it. The coals now are in a new state. The klipei arl are history. But if the klipei arl are in a state, now look at the klipei arl themselves, right? Part of it is still intact. That's called be'en, bet ayin yud nun, write that down, right? And part of it is already burnt. Now, what's feeding the fire? What's feeding the heat of the baking? L'chor, it's the part that's already burnt. Even though, again, I can still see that there's klipei arlo be'en, bet ayin yud nun. But nevertheless, it's not the be'en part that's generating the fire. It's the part that's already been subject to combustion, if you follow my point. It's already burnt up. So in that sense, we're going to equate it with gicholim. We're going to say no. The fact that part of the klipei arlo is still intact means that the fire is really coming from the klipei arlo. Yeah, Mike.
So why didn't you ask the same question as you asked in the second case on the first case?
Yeah, I don't know exactly which is the first and the second, but we're going to ask all the questions on all the cases as we go through them. Yeah. Okay, every single question we're going to ask on every single case. Go ahead.
If the issue is Isser Hanah, even if the klipa or burnt the coal, are we still getting Hanah? At some point in the process, are we still getting Hanah from the klipa? Now they're coals, but they came from klipa.
Otherwise, you'd never be permitted to use the klipa.
Well, again, you know, every process of Hanah starts with a maisa. What's my action? If my action is putting dough on top of coals, then am I putting it on top of Orla? The answer is that Orla is history. It's gone. Like, for example, you remember at the beginning of the perek, we spoke about chametz. What happens if I burn chametz? So if the chametz has already been converted to coals, then the chametz is gone. Again, it once was chametz, but that chametz doesn't exist in the world. Okay, let's go through all the cases. Now, first of all, let's review what we know from the Mishnah. This was the first Mishnah in the second perek, back on Daf Chof Aleph. And the Mishnah spoke about chametz. And the Mishnah said, Lo yasik bo tanur v'kirayim. In other words, once chametz becomes osur b'hano, at the sixth hour, that's 11 a.m. on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to use that chametz as fuel to heat up your oven, or kirayim is a smaller, like a cooktop. Why? Because then he's benefiting from the chametz. Now again, what is he benefiting from the chametz here? Is he benefiting because he's strengthening the tanur? This is the first time the tanur has ever been used. Or more likely, he's benefiting by baking something, cooking something, and the heat is coming from the chametz. Is the chametz intact? Again, as we said before, if it's gichalim, if it's already coals, that's not a problem. So the Gemara now is going to equate the case in our Mishnah with a case of klipei arla. Okay, tanur rabban. We learned in a braisa. Tanur shi siko b'klipei arla. So again, you have these walnuts, and they used to use the shells of the walnuts as what? As fuel in order to create a fire. And in this case, the subject of our discussion is the oven itself. Oh, here's another example of Isurei Hanoah. Bikashin shel klai akeret. You may remember that if you plant a vegetable or fruit in close proximity to a vineyard, then the product of that mixture is called kelayim. Not kelayim of what we discussed earlier today, of begadim, but klai zroim. And that mixture of vine together with a vegetable is going to produce an object which is asur b'hanoah, and even the shells themselves are asur b'hanoah. Now, how do we know that shells are asur b'hanoah? So I mentioned to you earlier that this is based on a Gemara in Brachos, and the Gemara darshins a pasuk. It says, V'araltem, in the parasha of Orla, es pirio. And again, this is, you may recall, a big, gigantic issue about whether we assume that every word S in the Torah is coming as a ribui to include something. And S pirio is l'rabos es hatofel l'pri. Tofel l'pri means it's secondary to the flesh of the pri, to the juice of the pri, and so forth. And that's called the klipa. The klipa is created in the universe as a shomer shel pri. It protects the fruit itself, or protects the vegetable. Now, in the case of klai akerem, the Gemara is going to derive from a pasuk, lo tizra karmacha kelayim pen tigdash hamaleya, that klai akerem is asur b'hanoah, and therefore tukdash means tukad eish, you have to burn it, and that applies not only to the vegetable itself, but also to any sort of kash that surrounds the vegetable. So, for example, in the case of tvuah, right, in the case of the five species of grains, if you plant them in close proximity to a vineyard, that product becomes kelayim, including the covering over the tvuah, right? The kernel that covers the kernel itself. I can't say the kernel that covers the kernel. That doesn't make any sense. What would you say? The outer covering that covers the kernel. All right. That's called what? The kash. What's it called in English? The husk. Okay. What did you call it? Every country, I guess, calls it by a different name. So we have the United Nations here. We can. Okay. We'll call it the husk. I guess everyone gets the. Okay. Now, why did the Gemara mention here, this Brisa, a case where he used the klipos of Orla, of Perishal Orla, or of Klayakarim? Why not mention the fruits themselves or the vegetable themselves? So some of the Mepharshim say that was just technical. Basically, you know, if you burn a fruit, it's not going to produce much of a fire. But he quotes here in the footnote a Pnei Yoshua, and he says that you need an object that's called Omed Lahasaka. Omed Lahasaka means that you only violate Isur Hanoah if you use it in the way that it's omed. Or another word for omed would be what in Lashon Kodesh that we use many times here? Ragil. Ragil. Ragil means the normal way, the general way that you use it. Now, the general way that you use the fruit or the kernel of grain itself is for eating, not for burning. And therefore, you would not violate an Isur Hanoah if you burnt the fruit itself. That's the Pnei Yoshua's understanding. In other words, if you had hanah by using the fruit or the grain itself as for fuel, that he calls hanah shelo kederach hanaasam. And if you recall, we said that shelo kederach hanaasam is not a violation of hanah. Again, that only applies, if you recall, when the Isur Hanoah is derived from achila. So that would certainly apply in the case of orla. In the case of klai akerem, it's a little bit more complicated because it never really says achila in the case of klai akerem. So that's a little bit iffy, the Pnei Yoshua. So what's the deal now with the subject of this brisa? What is the subject of this brisa? Again, Rav Osai, the first word in the brisa. Let's not all answer at once. I'm only asking what's the first word in the brisa.
Tanur.
That's not a complicated question. Tanur, right? So the subject of this brisa is the tanur. So what's the deal with this tanur? You heated up the tanur with klipe arlo, with kashim shel klai akerem. So guess what? there is a deal with the tanur. Why? Chadash, if you've never used this tanur, it just came out of the manufacturing warehouse, you know, you put together from the earthenware this oven, but it's never been used. That's called chadash. Okay? Yutatz. Yutatz means we should destroy it. And when it says we should destroy it, it means we're afraid that tomorrow you're going to use this oven. So destroy it. It's like, I don't know if you ever learned chulin, there's a sugyan chulin called clay cheres. Have you ever heard of it? Yeah, that has to do with earthenware. And in the case of earthenware, the halacha is an yotze bidei dofiel yolam, that if you cook in earthenware, because of its porous nature, you can never, no matter what you do with it, take what? Right, you can never extract the kibbol kapolto, you can never extract the tam that's inside of it. So one man the Omer says, I mean, the Gemara questions this, but that we have to destroy it because we never want to use it. I mean, that's a little bit strange because l'chori we could use it for tzonein, for cold things, but we're always afraid you might use it for hot things. Here in this case of an oven which is only used for hot things, you're not allowed to benefit from this oven because this oven was created by klipei arla, by a violation of the Isra HaNoah. And that's all because the tanur itself is strengthened by what? By the first firing, as you call it, the first heating of the tanur. Okay. By the way, how many of you may have heard of the word mitzarif? Not mitzarif in the sense of combining two things. The word mitzarif has two...
Mitzarif is a silverware.
Right, so what they did, the mitzarifim, what they did was, after they completed the kli, they would dunk it into very, very boiling hot water, and that would strengthen the kli. Like, for example, the Gemara in Yuma wants to know if the Kohen Gadol, when he goes down, you know, to the mikvah, and the mikvah is very cold, is he allowed to warm up the mikvah by taking a kli and heating up the kli itself and then dunking the kli into the water?
What's the kli made of in this instance?
In that case, it's made of metal. And the metal, once it's hot, will cool off the water. So that would be great for the Kohen Gadol.
Heat up the water.
I'm sorry, warm up the water. So that would be great for the Kohen Gadol, because he doesn't want to freeze his toes off. You know what I'm saying? Right? Yes. You'll be a Kohen Gadol, so you'll have to know this. So the Gemara says that if this metal keli has never been heated up before, so the process of heating up the metal, again, you're not cooking anything, because there's no food inside the pot, inside this metal container. But nevertheless, that itself is mitzarif, the Gemara says. That's called makam patish. He makes it into a kli. So here also we have a case of mitzarif, when he heats up the never used oven with klipei arla. So the hanor that he's getting is now into the oven. Again, we're going to have Rabosa, we're not even halfway there yet, because even if y'all agree with you in a tanur chadash that you heated up the tanur and it strengthened as a result of the fact that this was its first use with klipei arla, we still have to ask another couple of questions. We'll have to ask, well, wait a minute, is the klipei arla heating up the oven, or is it the fire that's heating up the oven? It's not coals yet. If it's coals, everybody agrees it's no problem.
Okay.
Right, but it's klipei arla, they're intact, it's a be'en. But where does the fire come from? Is the fire coming from the be'en? That's one question we have to ask. The second question we have to ask is, the assumption here is that you're not allowed to use this tanur a second time. How do I know you're not allowed to use this tanur a second time?
Yutatz
means you have to destroy it. Well, why can't I use it a second time? Am I benefiting from klipei arla the second time I use the tanur? And then, am I going to go as far as to say that if I bake a bread in this tanur, in this case of a tanur chadash, that the bread itself is asur because the tanur was generated by the klipei arla, and the klipei arla you're benefiting from when you use the tanur, and therefore when you bake a bread and use fuel, again, heter fuel, the bread is considered a product of the klipei arla. Who remembers the klipei arla? We've long forgotten the klipei arla. However, if it's yashan, let's say this is the second time that you're using the oven, it's already been strengthened, so now the klipei arla is not creating the tanur. Is then yutzan. Yutzan means yulashan sonen. You cool it off. In other words, as long as the oven is hot, right, with this round, you can't use it. Why? Because now the heat is coming from the klipei arla. Again, if we assume that the fire is coming from the klipei arla themselves, I guess you'd say. But when you cool it off, then from now on you can reheat it and use the oven. So just at this particular moment in time, don't use the oven because it's a hot oven and the heat is coming from Klipei Orla. Okay. Now, Afog Bo Es HaPas. What happens is the following. Remember we discussed the issue of what is the status of the dough that was baked with Klipei Orla? Is that dough Osir Banoa? Meaning every time I eat the dough, I'm benefiting from the Klipei Orla. Again, not directly, but indirectly, because it was the Klipei Orla that generated the fire, and the fire heated up the pas, and as a result, it baked the bread. Is Rebbe Omer HaPas Asura? Rebbe says the following. That all the benefits of this pas, meaning the transition between a dough and a baked bread, are a result of the fuel that you use to heat up the pas. And that fuel comes from Klipei Orla. So then the pas itself, if you benefit from it, you're benefiting from the Klipei Orla. Again, even though, keep in mind, the Klipei Orla, you know, I don't. When he eats the bread, I don't see the Klipei Orla in front of my eyes. It's not obvious and apparent to anyone that he's benefiting from the Klipei Orla, but nevertheless, it's an indirect benefit from the Klipei Orla, because if not for the Klipei Orla, this bread would not be baked. Now, I'm going to just read to you the footnote here, which is based on Rashi and other Mefarshim, which we've already pretty much clarified, but it's always good to see it inside. He says the following. That Medubar, what we're talking about is Bishas Afias HaPas Hoysa HaEish Dolekes Machmas HaBe'en Shel Klipei Orla Yisrei Ano. In other words, as the bread is baking, it is enjoying the heat coming from the fire, which is burning Klipei Orla. And he's being Nena from Be'en, Bet Ayin Yud Nun, meaning the Klipei Orla are intact. The Gemara later on, Adafkov Zion, is going to say the following. That if the Klipei Orla were already burnt, before he started the process of baking his bread, he didn't even put the dough into the oven, but the Klipei Orla were already burnt, v'nasu gichalim, and it became coals, afshag chalim adayin boros, even though the gichalim are still hot because of the burning of the Klipei Orla, ein hapas neseres. In this case, even Rebbe would agree that you're allowed to eat the bread. Lefisha isa kvar eino be'en, because we no longer have the Klipei Orla. Okay, fine. Now he quotes the Ri in later on in a sugya, which we're gonna get to maybe in a couple of years on Daf Ayin Hey, and the Ri there says that the whole nature of this isa in the pas is only derabbanan. Okay, this has to do with a sugya which we'll get to called Avuka Kenegdo, meaning even though the fire is going directly into the, in other words, sometimes you have what's called dispersed heat, and sometimes you have direct heat. So let's say if you have a vertical line that leads between the Klipei Orla all the way up to the dough, that's called Avuka Kenegdo. Again, we're going to get to this later. You don't have to write this down now. And Tosus insists that even in that case, where you see in front of your eyes the direct benefit of the burning of the Klipei Orla in the pas, nevertheless, as far as the Torah is concerned, it's mutter. And what Rebbe says over here is only derabbanan. The Magen Avraham insists that whole sheet of the Ri was not accepted by the Balei HaTosfos, and the Balei HaTosfos Lamaskona in final conclusion assume that if it's Avuka Kenegdo, in the case where the fire goes directly up from the Klipei Orla into the pas, it's Asura Min HaTorah. Rebbe would hold that by eating this pas, you are violating a Torah law of Yisurei Hanoah. Why? Because there's a direct cause here, cause and effect relationship. The cause of the pas is the Klipei Orla, and therefore if you enjoy the benefit of the pas, you're enjoying the benefit of the Klipei Orla, and you're violating Yisurei Hanoah Do Raisa. So again, you should just know this, that there's a machlokas between the Ri and others, as to whether or not Rebbe Shita is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Chachamim omrim apas muteres, that you're allowed to eat the bread that was baked by Klipe Arla, and this is called Ein Shvach Eitzim Bepas. Okay, this is called Ein Shvach Eitzim Bepas. So let's see if we can. Okay, let's see if we can. Anyway, you have not machak. I need a marker here, but they call it a lard here in this country. I mean, it has nothing to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam, except that you write Torah with it. But it's the Lord of this. Well, you found something?
Yeah.
That's from Ben's days. Okay, so there's something called Shvach Eitzim Vipas. Okay, those are the three key words here. Now, according to Rebbe, this is Rebbe Shita, Yesh Shvach Eitzim Vipas. And according to the Chachamim, Ein Shvach Eitzim Vipas. So the question is, whether or not we view the increment, the benefit in the pas, because it was a dough and now it's a baked piece of bread, do we see that as the eitzim? You know, the word eitzim here, which literally means wood, in this case we're referring to the peels of a walnut, but eitzim means the fuel. And the Chachamim here say that the pas muteres because ein shvach eitzim bepas. Which means the following, that the Eish, I'll read it to you in the Hebrew, Ha'esh ba'a min ha'chelek ha'saruf sheba eitz. Now, it's basically, according to Chachamim, anytime you use klipe ola as fuel, that's called gachelis. Why is it called gachelis? I mean, after all, I look at the, I can look at the peel and I still, right? I look at the shell and I still see it. But the Eish itself comes from the chelek ha'saruf, from the part of the klipe ola that's already burnt. And there it's considered kigacheles ukvar batel isranah. The status of the orla has completely changed and it's gone and he's not benefiting from isr hanah.
This is even in the case where the oven's being used for the first time.
Yeah. Well, he says the following. L'shitasam, listen to this. Again, this is not the Gemara itself. This is going to be Rashi's Kiddush here. L'shitasam, according to Chachamim, Tanur Chadash, Shehusak bi'atze orla, obi kashel kalayim, lo yutas. You don't have to destroy the kli. Why? Again, you shouldn't have done it, because you're benefiting from orla, but nevertheless, kevod she'eno nechshav shekayam shvach eitzim batanur. Like, just like we said, ein shvach eitzim bepas, we're going to apply the principle of ein shvach eitzim bitanur, and therefore, mutal lefos bopas liachash it's tanin. Once it cools off, you're allowed to bake a bread there.
So the principle applies in both cases, either both for the tanur and for the lefos.
Correct, because whatever fire is being generated, all the energy is coming from something that's already combusted, if there's such a word. I don't know if there is such a word, but I'll invent that word.
But you can't do it. You're saying you shouldn't do the chadchila, is that what you're saying?
Right. He says the following. Biodo sha tanur cham osur ki af chachomim modim shel chadchila ein lefos behesek shel isur shel atze isur. Okay, now again, why this is so, we don't know, but let's accept it right now as axiomatic, that the Chachamim agree that l'chadchila we don't do such a thing. We don't burn klipe orla and use the fire that's coming from klipe orla to bake a pas or to strengthen a tanur. But that's all an isur l'chadchila. But if you ask me what's the status of the pas or the status of the tanur, if he went ahead and he violated that isur, the answer is it's mutter. Because when I look at the pas, when I look at the tanur, I do not see the benefit of the klipe orla. What I see is the benefit of the eish that comes from the klipe orla, but not from the klipe orla themselves. And in that sense, the klipe orla, just like gachelis.
I'm sorry. Now, I don't understand. Either they hold the ein shvach. If they hold ein shvach, then why can't you do the chatchila?
Because chatchila, you're not supposed to take something of Isuri HaNoah and get any benefit from it. Again, if you ask me whether the pas that was created has the shvach etzim in the pas, the answer is no. But on the other hand, you are benefiting from the oil. If not for the oil, you would not be able to heat up your pas. Let's assume, right? So that itself is also. So, you know, there's a difference. I don't want to get too brisk over here, but the difference between the Maisa Gavra and the Chefta, as far as the Maisa Gavra is concerned, you took Klipe Arla, which are also by Noah, and you benefited from them. You got Hanoah from them. And again, because Klipe Arla are not Omid Lachila, then it's considered Darko Bakar. On the other hand, if you talk about the Pas that was created from the Arla, the answer is it wasn't created from the Arla, but rather it was created from the burnt part of the Arla. Okay. Now we go on to the next dimension of this brisa, and that's gecholim. Bishlag gabi gecholim. He took arlo kelayim and he burnt them and he converted them into what? Into coals. And now he cooks something or he bakes something on the coals. Divrei hakol mutar. Now even Rebbe agrees that the pas is permissible. And how much more so in the case of the tanur, if you use the gecholim, then the tanur is certainly mutter. So let's go over this. Rebbe just finished telling me that if you use klipe arla to bake a bread, the bread is asur. But now the Gemara says that's only because the klipe arla is still intact. But if you've already at stage one converted the klipe arla into what? Into gechalim, and therefore it's completely burnt, in such a case, the pas, even according to Rebbe, is muteres. Why? Because the fuel or the heat that's coming up from the gecholim has nothing to do, it's not connected to the klipa itself. Now, would this be mutar l'chatchila? I see gecholim that were heated up by klipa arla. Can I use those gecholim l'chatchila? I don't know the answer to that question. Come back tomorrow for that. You know, there's just so much I could, after all the hours I put into this, you know, and I am preparing a few other shiurim, that question I cannot answer.
It's just the very use of the klipe arla. Like, if you use the klipe arla to burn in the oven, and then you remove everything, all the ashes and everything from the oven, it's just the very fact that one time, originally, that oven was benefited from the klipa arla. It has nothing to do with the fact that there may or may not be any remnant.
It is remnants within the benefit is within the oven.
No, what Phil is asking is the following. In the case where the pas, here's where pas is different than the oven itself. In the case of the pas, the klipa arla, I could look at, I could see it, I could see the fire going up from the klipa arla, and I could see that the dough is being baked. Right. In the case of the tanur, well, as long as the klipa arla are in the tanur, maybe at that point you could say, but Phil wants to know what happens if you know, at the... Yeah, but, see, the thing is like this. Rebbe holds that at the very moment that the tanur gets heated up, the tanur itself becomes a chefzit nisura. What do I mean? The tanur itself was created by klipe arla.
Okay.
Now, Phil, you could ask another question. What happens, according to Rebbe, if I take out the klipe arla, there's still some heat in the oven, and then I heat up my dough in the oven?
Correct.
That's so if you're asking out the case of Rebbe of Pas, then this is not similar to the case of Rebbe, because in the case of Rebbe of Pas, you are benefiting from the Arla, and the Arla is intact, but here you've already removed all the Arla.
Correct.
Now, in the case of the oven is concerned, then you agree that oven is also, because if it's the first time I'm using the oven, then the oven became functional as a result of the Klipa Arla. But if you're talking now about the Pas... So let's just think about this for a moment. The pas itself, just one second now, the pas is being heated. So, you know, just to make life easier, let's ask you a question in the case of a yashan. It's a tanur yashan, meaning it's already been completed. Now I heat up the oven with klipe arla, I remove the klipe arla. Would that be the same as gachelis? Well, in the case of Gachelis, the klipe arla are gone. Here, in the case of the klipe arla are not gone, they're just outside the oven. So, is that considered as if the klipe oven are gone? What would you say, Rabbi Hussein, in this case? They're gone, maybe. I don't know. On the other hand, the heat coming from the klipa orla is still very much alive.
I thought these klipa orla are underneath the oven. They're not in the oven, are they?
I don't know if their ovens were as sophisticated as our ovens, because again, you remember that I told you, Michael, there's something called avuka kenegdo. Avuka kenegdo means that I see the flame going, shooting up from the klipa orla straight to the dome.
If all this was the case, though, they would never. The rabbis would never permit the use of klipa orla. Period.
Well, that's true. You know,
we're talking
using it as fuel or something for other purposes. I mean, you want to scratch your ear with klipa orla. That's awesome.
Or for hardening the oven, or for anything. They would just say klipa orla.
I just want to make one comment here. We're talking about burning klipa orla.
Right, okay, right, fine. Right. But the fact that we're even talking about it means that there's something to there's something.
It's
to
awesome,
about.
Right? I mean, you can't use klipa orla for burning purposes, because that's what klipa orla is used for. They're designated for burning, and you're not allowed to benefit from klipa orla. Okay, Rabbi, so let's see if we can just fit in another few lines here. I mean, the time is going here, but here's what I was able to get out of the next sugya. The Gemara asks the following question. We just finished saying that there's a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim about the status of the bread that was baked with the fuel that was generated by klipa orla. Chachamim say the pas muteres, and the Rebbe said pas asura. Everybody agrees in the case of Gecholim, it's mut. Tanya, I have another brice again talking about a tanur that was generated by klipa orla, and it says bein chadash uvein yashan yutzan. In other words, even if this is the first use of the oven, it's straight out of the manufacturer, it's very loose earth, right? Soft earth at this point, and he's now heating up the oven with klipa orla for the first time. Yutzan, just cool it. Wait till it cools off, and then you're allowed to bake in the oven. Now we just said at first brisa that in the case of a tanur chadash, right, it's asur. Again, we had a debate between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about the pas, but as far as the oven is concerned, it would seem that everybody agrees that the oven itself, on the first use, is awesome, because what strengthened the oven and clinched it? It was the klipa orla. Lo kasha, says Gemara, ha Rebbe v'ha Rabbanan. Since Rebbe was the one who said, yeshvach etzim v'pas, which means that we view the fire coming out of the klipa orla as Hanna's benefit from the orla, therefore if on the first round you use klipa orla, you heated up the oven and strengthened the oven. But the brisa that we are you're quoting now, that says even a chadash is yutzan, that reflects the shita of Rebbe. Says the Gemara, no, there's a fundamental difference between the pas, which Rebbe says is asura, and the oven. Because Rabosai, in the case of the oven, when he uses this oven the second time, what kind of fuel is he using to heat up the oven? Heter or Iser? Heter. So that's not like the case of the pas. Says the Gemara, Amar Deshamet Leila Rebbe. We never said that. You can't commit Rebbe to making to holding a position that the tanur itself in the first use of klipa orla is awesome. He only said in the case of the dough that was being heated up by the klipa orla. Mishum, this was the chumra of Rebbe as far as the pas is concerned, the yeshvach etzim v'pas, meaning we view the klipa orla as creating this pas. But with regard to the tanur, that's a whole different story. Because if you reuse this tanur, then you're baking in this tanur not just as a result of the tanur. The tanur, of course, keeps the heat inside and traps the heat, so there's an intense heat, but that's not what bakes the bread. What bakes the bread is the fuel that heats up the oven. The oven doesn't heat up itself. And the fuel that you're using in the second round to heat up your pas is mutter. And that's called, in the Gemara's language, Zeh v'zeh gorev. It's amazing how many different new principles we're Zeh v'zeh gorev. In other words, what's causing the ultimate benefit of the bread, the creation of the bread? Well, it depends. In the case of Rebbe, it's the klipei arla, as one single gorem that's creating the pas, that's creating that the heat that's coming from the klipei arla is baking the bread. But in the case of the tanur, now we have a zeh v'zeh gorem. Now that is A, and then is B. Why? Because A is going to be the klipei arla that strengthened the oven, and B is going to be the fuel that you're going to use now in this oven. And that fuel is heter. The oven is not going to bake the bread. Ovens don't bake bread. It's the heat in the oven that breaks the bread. And the heat is generated by what? By heter, says the Gemara. Zev is egorim mishametle. Is Rebbe going to go a step further and say that the bread that you bake in this oven is asur? Rebbe only said that the bread that was baked by the klipei arla and the heat that came up from the pre-gor, that's asur, because that's one gorim. But in the case of the tanur, you want to say, well, you can no longer use this tanur, because if you use the tanur, then you're benefiting from the klipei arla. Forget it, the klipei arla created the tanur, shkoyach. But now, I'm heating up my bread with a fuel that's mutter, in this oven. That's already Zev Zeh Gorem. There's a second Gorem. And now the Gemara is going to say, Elo lo kasha ha Rabbi Eliezer v'ha Rabbanon. Eini chinami. Rebbe and the Rabbanon are on one page, meaning they both agree that Zev Zeh Gorem is mutter, and therefore Rebbe would agree to the Rabbanon as far as the tanur is concerned. You don't have to break the tanur, and you only have to wait till it cools off, and you can bake your bread on this tanur, even though the tanur was strengthened by the klipei arla. Because when you use the tanur, it's a case of what? Zev zeh gorem, because the fuel of heter is going to bake your bread. But then we have a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, and he's the author of Yutax, the author of that brisa that says that if it's the first round and it's a tanur chadash, you have to break the oven and you can never use it again. That's Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer is the one who holds that zev zeh gorem is asur. And Emir Sashem, tomorrow we'll try to understand the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. And we'll go through this Gemara one more time, and then we'll go on to Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, then I wish you all a great day. But they still
ate each other's bread. Tell us.
You remind me the Gemara met Basil Beit Shammai.
The Gemara says
that according to Beit Shammai, because of his sheet in Tzaras Erva, what happens is that there's a woman who's in Erva, according to Beit Shammai, and according to Basil, she's not an Erva. So the question is, can Beit Shammai, the members of Beit Shammai, marry into the family of Basil? That's a sugya masechta Yevamos. So the Gemara says that they intermarried, because they held that since Basil Paskin that this case of Tzara is not an Erva, then that's good enough for us as well. Even though according to them it was an Erva.
It was a legitimate opinion. It may not have been theirs, but it was a legitimate
opinion. Right. That's called Eilu Veilu Dibri L'Kimchai.
All right.